Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved. Oh, I'm bad.
Amazing way. He's business's bad boy.
You're bad, and I like it.
Yep, he's one bad apple.
That's right, we're bad.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me today. If you've been listening already, we appreciate it very much. If you just tuned in, welcome aboard. Chris Mayer is our guest, ladies and gentlemen. Chris is the editor of Capital in Crisis. Many of you have seen him on television, on Fox TV, and other appeared in other places. You may have read his byline or seen him appear in other venues. And he's here to talk to us about one of the things we're going to talk about is something that happened this week in Washington, D.C. Chris, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me on.
It's good to have you here. Chris, I think we saw a lack of leadership at its worst in Washington, D.C. this week, primarily yesterday, I guess. And that was when the Dubai company that was going to operate several of our ports agreed to relinquish that contract to a U.S. company at the basically under pressure from the United States Congress. What do you think?
Yeah. I agree 100%. This is one of those classic cases of just political opportunism. Here was an example. They had a chance to stand up in front of their voters and look tough on terror and stand apart from a weak and unpopular president. I mean, there's no upside if you are a member of Congress to sit here and patiently explain what's happening with this ports deal. You know, it's much easier to just go out there and talk about security threats and how you want America to run its own port. So
you
now,
know what gets me about this, Chris, is the same members of Congress who were so worried about the Patriot Act,
yeah,
so worried about the fact the way the Patriot Act could profile people and it could impinge upon and maybe be rude and crude to certain people. Have basically just done the same thing to an ally in I guess terrorism.
Yeah, that's a strange thing. United Arab Emirates is a tiny little country, but it's an ally of ours.
Well, actually, there are several little principalities in the UAE. There's Abu Dhabi, there's Dubai, there's Sharjah, and I've forgotten what the names of the others are. I've actually been to all three of those places.
Oh yeah.
And those little principalities, those little nations, all part of this group of United Arab Emirates. I think there are several of them. I've forgotten how many there are over there. All
the
together.
Big ones are the Abu Dhabi and Dubai are
and Sharjah is right there beside Dubai. It's not as well known as a lot of them, but it's there. And the thing is these are people who actually are trying to develop a relationship with the United States, with the West, trying to do a better job.
Yeah.
And
they're doing a lot of the right things. I mean, they've opened up. They're protecting privacy and property rights and the population in Dubai, for example. And you know this since you were there. It's like 80% expats.
That's exactly right. Many Americans. But the thing is, Chris, is that what we basically said was, you know what, folks? We're really not capable of differentiating between a terrorist Muslim and a friendly Muslim. We're not capable of that. And so, therefore, we're going to keep everybody out.
Yeah, the strange thing is, for example, we have China. The Chinese government already runs terminals in Los Angeles. So what are we going to do there? Are we going to now make them divest too?
Right.
I mean, I would argue that Dubai is a much closer ally to us than China. So it's a strange, strange situation. And it has much bigger ramifications of where all this goes.
When leader, what's sad to me, folks, not that I've never been naive about politics. Maybe a little bit, but I try not to be. Chris, but what's sad to me is we now know beyond a shadow of a doubt that one of the things that's rampant on Capitol Hill, and I hate to paint everybody with this picture, but it sure seems to be pervasive, and that is that when it comes to politics over leadership, or leadership over politics, politics trumps leadership.
Yeah, you know, it keeps making me think of Orwell, because it's so much of it is sort of reminiscent of that. You have just the language people use just sort of dominates the debate as opposed to the facts. I mean,
right.
You know, we were talking off air about the forces of globalization and how this has just been a big trend that's been building and building and building for centuries. And you can't stop it, and if you try to cut yourself off from the world, you just leave yourself further behind.
Well, and you know, I don't want to get too hysterical about this, but you know, one of the reasons why we had the Great Depression was because of protectionism.
Right.
The Smoot-Hawley tariffs of the 1932, I think it was. Folks, we cannot become isolationists. We cannot become xenophobes. If we do, we're in big trouble, because we're not as self-sufficient as we have been. 20 Tail will be right back with Chris Mayer. He's our new friend. I'm Jim Blassingame. I'm your old friend.
You never wanna quit.
Dan Fogelberg for you there from the Innocent Age album. It's a good one. A lot of good songs. That may be the best album I ever bought. Chris Mayer is our guest, ladies and gentlemen. He's the editor of Capital in Crisis, and that's a monthly publication, right? A print publication, right, Chris?
Yes, it is. Monthly.
Tell us how we can find out more about it. And tell us a little bit about it.
Sure. Well, Capital in Crisis, really, I like to say it's a study in how wealth is made. And I spent a lot of time looking at the great investors and some great business people and what they did to create a lot of wealth. And then we kind of apply those principles looking for good opportunities in the stock market. So there's a lot of different businesses and things all over the world, and I try to cover or write one up at least a month. We have a little model portfolio we track, and so it's a lot of tools for investors.
If I wanted to subscribe, how would I do that?
Head over to dailyreckoning.com. It's a free daily e-letter, and I'm a columnist there, and so there's a lot of information you can see there.
Some of the stuff you've already written for free.
Dailyreckoning.com.
Right.
Yep, and then you can read more about Capital in Crisis there as well.
And can they get back into you to subscribe from there? Is that how they would do that?
Oh, yeah. Yep. That's how they do it, yeah.
All right. Sounds good. Okay. We're talking, folks, about what I'm concerned about, and I think Chris is too, about some of the things that are happening right now. I mean, we've allowed you know, Chris, I believe that we are in a war on terror. I believe that it's a serious war. I don't think it's just some little – I don't think it's a name somebody just put on a conflict. I think it's a serious war. I think it's I think it's also a war that we can lose.
Yeah.
And so I'm very much interested in being diligent. I'm very much interested in this. And I have to say, Chris, this port thing with the UAE, the Dubai company, I have to say that at first blush, it is a little unseemly.
Yeah,
the very first reaction,
yeah.
It's natural to first react to be very unseemly, right?
Yeah.
It reminds me of the first time I met a guy once who had really long hair. And the first time I saw him, I decided I didn't like him. This was years and years ago, right? And turns out the guy became one of my best friends. But my first blush was I didn't like the guy. And so, you know, at first blush on this one, you don't like the idea. But I think we've got to realize in America that it is possible to fight the war on terror and not run everybody off, not be an enemy to everybody just because they have some things in common with terrorists.
Right. And you can't retreat on all the principles that made this country great. And that's just handing the terrorists the victory there. We were giving up all the freedoms and things that we cherish so much.
Well, and I think it'll be interesting, Chris, and I expect you to do this. I expect you to be one of the people that tracks the fallout from this over the next year, and I know you will.
Oh, yeah.
For example, I understand that Dubai bought 50 777s from Boeing
right.
in the last year or so.
Yeah, it's one of the rare countries that we actually have a trade surplus with.
Yes, and they have an option on others, but they don't have to buy from us. They could buy from the European group.
Right, Airbus, yeah.
Airbus,
that's,
right.
That's a very good point, and this is a theme that I've sort of been tracking in my newsletter for a while. It really opened my eyes when I went to China in November because I spent some time in Hong Kong, and Hong Kong is really a bustling place, and a lot of foreign companies choose to list there instead of listing here in the New York or on the New York Stock Exchange where they might have before, because the regulatory environment is so hostile now to foreign companies. So you start to see already at the margin, you know, companies listing in other markets, they're not coming here, and now now you're going to have just at the margin people are may not come. He may not invest.
Do you think that this is one issue that could ripple through other aspects of the global marketplace that the average person will never see the negative effects of?
Yeah.
Is that what you're talking about?
It's one of those things where you're not going to be able to clearly draw the line. This will just be one more thread in sort of the whole.
And then one day we'll wake up and we'll say, why aren't we doing better than we are?
Yeah,
what
it's
happened?
Not just us. You know, we become like France. We become like Europe.
Oh,
because
don't say. Now wait a minute, Chris. Now, I'm going to call your hand on that. Now we don't allow that kind of talk on this show, Chris.
Uh-oh.
You can't say we're going to become like France. That hurts my feelings, Chris.
Well, here's the example I was thinking of, because the French are trying to block a merger, an Italian company from bidding from one of their utilities.
Yeah.
And you see a lot of that happen in Europe. You have the Spanish government trying to block a German firm for bids for Endesa, which is a Spanish utility. And the real laughable one is the Polish government trying to block an Italian takeover of a German bank because it involves Polish subsidiaries. So it starts to sound a little bit like a joke after a while.
You know, I really think, I really would like to introduce more people to Frederick Bastiat. Are you familiar with Bastiat?
Great essays. I got two of his books right here.
I'm looking at them right now. And folks, this is the guy I call him the great French economist, 19th century economist and comedian. Because the guy, if the guy were alive today, he'd be more likely to be a stand-up comic than he would be.
Oh, yeah, he'd be great on TV.
He's so funny. Yeah, he'd be a great interview. Because this is the guy who basically used the parable of the candle makers trying to get all the government to make everybody pull their shades down in the daytime to keep the sun out, because they saw the sun as a competitor to their candles.
Yeah, I remember reading Bastiat's essays when I was pretty young as a teenager, and it just really nailed for me the whole free trade argument, and I don't see how anybody could argue differently after reading Bastiat's essays.
We've got to get around all this, and the thing is what we can't do, Chris, is let the rest of the world get the global free trade that's going on right now, and we don't get it at a time when we need to be trading with people.
Yeah,
it makes no sense, folks. And we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back with our new friend Chris Mayer. He's the editor of Capital in Crisis. I'm Jim Blassingame, Tintail. Stay with us. Welcome back. It's 7 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're having a great visit with our new friend Chris Mayer, soon-to-be old friend. He's the editor of Capital in Crisis, and give us that website where we can find you again.
Yeah, I'd head over to dailyreckoning.com. Again, that's a free daily e-letter.
You can find out some of the things Chris says.
And stuff. Yep.
And that'll lead you back to his monthly publication, which is print and which you can subscribe to.
Yep.
Another thing that we talked about Bastiat a second ago, Chris, that I like to paraphrase a little bit, just a tiny bit, something Bastiat said that I think we all Americans, actually all every earthling should say to themselves, every freedom-loving earthling, and that is that when goods cross borders, armies don't.
Yeah, and it's such a part of America anyway. The founders basically had that same vision. You know, when you heard Thomas Jefferson and George Washington, trade with all, void foreign entanglements, all that sort of stuff.
That's exactly right. We've got to get that in our head. Now, what's going on between the United States and China these days?
Well, it'll be interesting because I think the president of China is coming here next week. So we've made such a big fuss over a little tiny Dubai. It'll be interesting to see what kind of treatment we give China. But China is a rising economic power, there's no doubt. I was there and spent some time there in November, and just incredible, the amount of growth there. I mean, this is real this time. I know that China has kind of been out there as a story, at least in professional investing circles, for more than a decade.
Right.
But things have really started to take hold there now. I think there's a lot of opportunities there, even for American firms.
Oh, there's no question about it. And that's the thing. The thing about China is our competitor.
Mm-hmm.
There's no question that China is and will continue to be our competitor. They always will be our competitor. But here's the thing that still the jury is still out on, whether we will be China's partner.
Yeah.
See, and there is coopetition. There is such a thing in the 21st century as coopetition. I didn't coin that term, folks. Someone else did. But there is such a thing, and we've got to make sure that we're partners with China. I think,
I
don't
agree.
You?
I agree, and you know, they're already relying on us to do a lot of things. I mean, they're having some growing pains with their boom, and so for example,
they've got inefficient capital markets.
Inefficient capital markets.
That could be their could be their undoing. I don't think it will be, because I think there's just too much fundamental strength over there. But if they have an enemy right now, if they have a challenge, it's their own capital markets.
It comes from within. But you know, the United States started out that way too. Our markets weren't always efficient and deep, and there were always, in the early years of our markets, there was corruption and bad disclosures, and so they're going through all that sort of pain right now.
Right, absolutely. But the more we get it in our head that we have to be afraid of these countries, then the more that doesn't serve us, I think. The less that serves us, and the more it puts us, I think, in jeopardy in the future. What do you think?
I think you're right, and it also cuts off our own nose, so to speak, because, again, there's opportunities there for our own firms. I mean, when I was there were plenty of American companies dealing with a lot of basic stuff over there, helping with things like water, and there are some big manufacturing plants, and American consumers benefit from much lower prices for basic goods, and American firms benefit because they have another huge market over there to try to figure out.
Huge markets, Chris, when former Secretary of Commerce Don Evans was on the show a few times when he was in that job, he reminded us of something that I think that Americans should think about all the time. And that is that 95% of all prospects for our businesses do not live in the United States.
Yeah.
They live somewhere else on the planet.
And Asia, not just China, but also just greater Asia. When I look around at different stocks and different companies, it's hard to be anything approaching a global company if you don't have a presence in Asia, because that's where all the action is. I mean, companies that have Asia operations, they're growing at huge, rapid paces. It's really driving the business. So.
And one of my goals is to get small businesses more attuned and more comfortable with doing business abroad. I want to get them. We had a show earlier. We did an interview earlier today with somebody from the Department of Commerce talking about that very thing. Hey, Chris, thank you for being here. Good job today.
And thank you for having me on. I enjoyed it.
I did too. Let's get you back again another day.
All right, great.
Chris Mayer, ladies and gentlemen. Got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners. This is Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. And as you know, this program really is for you. I'll see you later.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.